Good evening. It's good to be here in God's house. I trust you had a good afternoon of rest. Let's go over the church calendar before we get started. Does everybody have a calendar? Who?
I didn't get
one. Oh, you didn't get one? I'm sorry. Not right here, Brother Bill. I'm sorry. Sister Lisa, you didn't get one? Get the postcard that's over there to take and mail out to anybody that's unchurched that you may know. The church track as well is out for Christmas season, so take a handful of them, use them, get them into the hands of folks who could use them. All right, we're already here to the last month of the year, 2013. You'll notice the first thing will be on the 5th, church-wide soul winning at 6:45. And then the 14th, we have soul winning at 9:45. And then the youth will have their get-together on the 14th as well. And Brother Bill, Brother Scott have the information on that. That's actually the age group for that is the group that goes to Soldiers of the Cross. So if you go to the Soldiers of the Cross and you're eligible for that, you don't have to necessarily be in the teen class. I think it's 12 to 19, brother, there. So if you go to the Soldiers of the Cross youth rallies, you're welcome to come to that, see them. They'll get the information to you. Then the nursing home has been moved up to the 15th. You see that on the 15th, nursing home ministry. Then the final Discovery Club presentation for the year is on the 18th. So on and again on the 19th, and that's at 6:45. Then the beautiful girlhood Christmas caroling will happen on the 20th, you'll have to see Sister Rhonda, my wife, Sister Lois. They'll be ones overseeing that. They'll go somewhere and go caroling, the beautiful girlhood group. And then on the 21st, my wife and I would like to extend an open house to our church family at our house at, from 2 to 5. And if you can't stay the whole time, we understand. But if you can, come by. And we'd like to just have time of fellowship on the 21st with our church family. That's from 2 to 5 on the 21st. And then on the 22nd, you'll notice that we have the Christmas play at 6:30. And we also will have the candlelight service to conclude that evening. In addition with the, that service. So a lot going on the 22nd, Christmas play, and then Christmas play is still every Sunday evening at 5:15. And Sunday the 22nd, we'll have to come back early. We'll have to set up the stage, props, and go through it really strong. So spend some time on your own learning your parts, knowing your parts, being be on time for practice, be in your place for practice. We've had now, I think this is the 5th practice, and today was the first time we had actually everybody there. So it's important that we get practice done and know your lines. That's really important. So when and again on the 28th, we will be having service on Christmas Day at 7 o'clock. We will be having service on Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock. There will be no Discovery Club that week, but we will be having a normal Wednesday evening service, 7 o'clock on Christmas Day. On the 28th, soul winning. On the 30th, we'll leave for Venture of Faith retreat. Now, check-in's at noon, so I'll tell you as we get closer to that when we'll be actually leaving. But I'm thinking it's going to be somewhere around 8 o'clock. So we've got to be ready for that on that Monday morning around 8 o'clock. Because we've got to check in at noon and have to eat before we get there, if I'm not mistaken. I have to look and make sure we definitely have to eat no later, leave no later than 8. All right, and then we'll return on the 1st of January. And we'll be back for evening service. So we'll get back somewhere around 4:35, and so we'll have evening service on that 1st. Are there any questions on the church calendar? There will be no print shop in December. No print shop work night in December. Any questions? All right, I think that covers it. Next couple of Sunday evenings, all the way through December for sure, we're going to be talking about why outreach. Why outreach? And let's turn over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Why outreach? John chapter number 3 this evening. Had a good crowd this morning at the church service. I'm glad that we had visitors come our way, and good to see God moving on our behalf as a church. John chapter 3. John chapter number 3, the Gospel of John. Why outreach? That's going to be the thought for the next couple of 3, 4, 5 Sunday evenings in a row. John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Thou canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why outreach? The first thought that I bring to your attention tonight, the thought would be because religion has failed. Religion has failed. Now, religion is man's attempt to reach God. Relationship is God reaching man. And religion has failed. We can see through this passage of Scripture as we think about this Pharisee, this man named Nicodemus. Now, of course, as a Pharisee, you could find throughout Scripture that there are several things that would mark a Pharisee. One would be self-righteousness. What's self-righteousness? Believing that they are justified by their own conformity to religion. Just because what I do and I conform to religion, I'm righteous. Another thing you'd notice about a Pharisee would be they're self-serving. Self-righteous and self-serving. Listen, outward religious worship was designed to draw attention and admiration to what we as men can do. So it's self-serving. People look up to me because I'm able to do certain things and accomplish certain things as a person. Then it's self-seeking. People saw themselves above the common sinner. And they'd seek and sought positions of honor. You know the parable about the great supper. The Lord told us there as he dealt with the disciples, don't choose the upper room, the greater seat. Choose the lesser of the seat, because when the master would come in, he might see you sitting there and he might have somebody in his eyes which is much greater than you. And he might remove you from your seat and say, hey, you go back here and you come up here. Pharisee and religious activity makes people think that they are righteous in their own self. It's self-serving and it's self-seeking. And I'm telling you, Nicodemus, dear friend, was in that fix. He was a ruler of the Jews. According to the Scripture, according to history, according to what we can find out about manner and customs in the Jewish nation, he was part of the Sanhedrin Council, which means he was a ruling counselor over the religious things that took place and political things. He was kind of up there, dear friend, I'm telling you. He was curious, though, very curious, but a cautious man. He'd been looking, noticing, seeing some things, and according to the Scripture, he wanted to meet this man named Jesus. Why? His religion had failed him. I mean, he had done climbed the ladder, dear friend. I mean, he was up there. But as he got up there to the top of his ladder, he noticed that there was a void that was still left wanting because of lack of relationship. So he came to Jesus under the cover of dark. Snuck in kind of nonchalantly, fearful of what that relationship may cause him in his own circles. A lot of people are that way with family. Raised a certain way, raised in a certain denominational way, raised in a certain religious way, and following the religious pattern which they have been given, And they have an emptiness that is there. They begin to seek and begin to look. And I can give you that example of my wife and I the same way. We knew that we should be in church together somehow because things just wasn't going right. So we began to seek. And I'm telling you, my wife and I, we went to every kind of church in the town of Leesville. It was curious. Why? Because the religious pattern which we had been given growing up, what religious pattern had? Mine was a very charismatic type. My wife was a very socialist type, a socialized type of religion. You went to church because it was the time to socialize. Wasn't time to get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was just time to meet somebody. Well, it didn't work for us. It didn't work for Nicodemus. And here's the problem with religion. Religion is usually just a bunch of rituals. Just a bunch of rituals based on righteousness of observing of those rituals that are there. Like what? Well, just take, for example, attendance. Confessionals. How about baptism? Communion. Even in our Baptist circles, there are some folks that have the Lord's Supper like clockwork. I mean, it's like on the calendar, they're going to have the Lord's Supper on the fifth Sunday of every month or on the fourth Sunday of every many times on a Sunday morning. I don't know how many of you, I don't eat supper on the Sunday morning. It's the Lord's Supper, and it was done in the evening. It was the time that was given there. And it's just sometimes it's prayers. We stand up ritually and we say prayers. And listen, when we pray, we're communicating with God Almighty. No wonder we don't have good relationships with other people, because if we talk to other people like we talk to God, it's kind of boring talk. Just same old rituals. Well, as a Pharisee, Nicodemus would have kept some of the same rituals of Judaism. Prayers out in the synagogue, prayers on the street corner, giving of alms, and so forth and so on. And it was just following those rituals. And I'm just here to tell you, if it's all about a ritual that we can do and work up, then Christ died in vain. In vain, dear friend. So religion has failed because religion presents rituals. Not only that, dear friend, it presents rules. Rules of righteousness. Not precepts of godliness that are found in the Scripture. So religion has failed, dear friend, and that's why we got to have an outreach. These rules are based on the righteousness of, if I keep these rules, I'm in good standings. I'm in good standings. Listen, every biblical church has to be of order. Because God's a God of order. I'm not talking about having order and a pattern to follow. I'm talking about things that are man-made up, and we follow them because if I do it, if I'm on time with keeping those rules and those rituals, hey, I'm okay. I'm okay. Now the Pharisees, like Nicodemus, would have kept the strictest of moral codes to following the Judaism way, and they were very sincere, by the way. There's a lot of sincere religious folks. But I'm just here to tell you, religion and sincerity is not going to get you to heaven. It's faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We look around at us and we see folks that they're headed off to worship, and they're going to a place of worship, a place of denominational worship, and they get there and they follow these rituals. They do the same thing week in and week out, and they leave empty. Some of us that are saved and born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, leave out this church empty. Because we didn't come here to get something from God. We came here just to appease our spouse. We're here only because if I'm not here, then it will look good. It won't look good because of what the church may think of us. Hey, we need to get past what the church thinks of us. We need to get to the point where we care what God thinks. That's what's important. That's what's important. We need to get to the point as a born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does God care about my life? How is God concerned with the way I'm living and the things I'm doing? It's all about God and not us. And religion makes it about us instead of about God. Religion has failed. That's why we need outreach. There's folks out there spinning their wheels in their religious circle. They're just spinning around and looking around, searching for something empty. So we're out there. We were down at Turnberry not too long ago. I would say probably 4 weeks ago. The teens had done come up and had went out and they had done canvassed every door. So we followed back through. And as we follow back there, we're knocking on the door, see if we can have some personal contact. We also made a mail out down into that place. So we saturated it with invitations and so forth and so on. And as we went door to door this particular day, Kenley was with me that day, and some other men and some other ladies was in other parts, and we were working our way through in a systematic manner so we'd not miss a house. And I knocked on this one door, and a gentleman came to the door, and obviously he was had just woke up out of the sleep. I don't know how in the world you sleep till 10:30. He was coming out of his grogginess, and I didn't disturb him. I just gave him the invitation, told him we'd love to have him. So I went on to the next door. And as I got to the next door and I walked away from that door, I noticed that this man was coming. And I said, "Oh Lord, here goes an argument right here in the middle of the street for everybody to see. He wants to tell me how wrong I am and so forth." And he came over and he said, "I am sorry you caught me just getting out of bed, but I just wanted to tell you that I haven't never noticed any other churches doing what you're doing." I said, "Yeah, well, we do it because it's a biblical method of getting the Word of God out. So we do it, and that's why we're out here, because lost people are to be sought after. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. So we seek after them," and so that's what we're doing. And he said, "Well, you know, I'm a minister too." And I said, "Well, praise God. Glad you're a minister. I trust that things are going well for you." He said, "Yeah, but I'd like to know if we could come up there and maybe rent a room from you." I said, "Unfortunately, no. We've tried that in the past, and it didn't work out too well. Not with us when I'm here, but from the other situation that went on. And I just am the one that believes that we can use everything that God's given us, and that's our goal. So we're not going to be able to." He said, "Well, it's just hard getting folks to come to a school." I said, "Well, I know a lot of churches that start in a school. The only way you get them to come is you got to get out there and get them. Just because you got a church building don't mean they come." He said, "Is that right?" I said, "Yeah, that's right. So you got to get busy." And I'm sorry, I didn't say this, but I thought in my mind, you could have been out here and knocked on a bunch of your neighbor's doors already. Why? Religion has failed. I mean, it's sad. People come hurting, desperate, needing help, and they don't need opinions. They need the Word of God. And religion has failed. As religious as Nicodemus was one. I mean, way up there. I don't think you could get any much more religious than this man Nicodemus was, if you ask me. Now, they could have been; he could have went on higher, but when you were where he was, because the Lord looked at him and said, "Look, aren't you a teacher? And you don't know these things? You don't know what I'm talking about?" Why didn't he know it? Because I'm telling you, he was religious without a relationship. So why not reach? Because religion has failed and people need a relationship. What does a relationship do for you? A birth creates relationships. You must be born again. Why do we reach out? Because they need to be born again. That we're not going out there just to go out there and to pass and trespass and cause people heartache and problems by knocking on their door, and invade their privacy. That's not what it's about. We don't want to go out there and show ourselves off and say, "Hey, we're out here and bless God, look at what we're doing." It's not about what we're doing. It's about lifting up Christ as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. Unless we lift up Christ, religion's going to land a whole bunch of people in hell. They need relationships. You must be born again, as it says there in John chapter 3. That's what it's all about, getting people around the word of the Lord Jesus Christ that they may come to know Him as their personal Lord and Savior. He talks to us there in John chapter 3 about a physical birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's what we're out there doing. We're out there seeking people who are living beings that have need of something. Now listen, when you knock on the door and they don't want to talk to us, and you don't have to fight. We're not there to draw swords and sharpen ourselves up. We're there to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. They don't want to hear it. God bless you. Have a wonderful day and enjoy the rest of your day and go on to the next one. Go on to the next one. Why? We're looking for someone that is looking and searching and in need of a spiritual birth. They need it. What does the Scripture say there in John chapter 3 as we read on down verse 18? He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. There needs to be a spiritual birth. We're out there. Why outreach? There needs to be some relationships created through a new birth. I'm telling you, it's a new birth that's going to change people. If any man be in Christ, not if any man be a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Pentecostal, a Catholic. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's what's important. That's what's important. And we're looking for that person. That spiritual birth, because a spiritual birth, dear friend, will connect people to Christ. That's what makes a difference. Connecting people to Christ. There's no name under heaven whereby men must be saved. We have to understand this, that it is our great privilege to represent God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it is important that we see that. Here's some things about relationships. Relationship creates, birth creates relationships, and also benefits are made through relationships. Do you know I couldn't say I have a father, Brother Dave, until I was born again? What a benefit. I was on my way to a devil's hell when the Lord Jesus Christ saved me, and because of that relationship, I have a Father in heaven. What benefit there is in that? Hey, there's benefits like everlasting life. Oh, my soul, nothing to get excited about. Just that when I leave this shell of a body, to be absent from this is to be present with the Lord. You know what else benefits there are? There's forgiveness of sins. in this relationship. When I come to Him and I failed Him and I faltered and I've got crossways with Him, I have humbled myself before Him and I say, Father, forgive me because I've sinned against You. I've sinned against my family. I've sinned against the Word of God. Yeah, dear friend, when we disobey God, we disobey the Word of God. We need to confess it. We need to confess it and diligently seek the face of God. And guess what we find? Forgiveness of sins. He doesn't tell us to put a pea in our boot and walk 10 miles. That's what religion does. He doesn't tell us to get down on our knees and walk up, crawl on our knees for miles. And He doesn't ask us to be flogged. He doesn't ask us to take our children and sacrifice them to some crocodile. Listen, that is religion. And in Christ Jesus, we have a relationship. There's benefits there. What was Nicodemus' response to all this conversation? Look over to John 19. John chapter 19. Verse 39. John 19, 39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. He brought a mixture of myrrh, aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, wound in the linen cloths, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews to bear to bury. Now in the place where He was crucified, there was a garden. In the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation of the day for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Kind of looks like to me that the religious ways of Nicodemus gave way to a relationship. It wasn't a profitable time to be around Jesus at that moment. He wasn't fixing to take another step up the ladder by being there at Calvary. Oh no. Religion gave way to relationship. You see what it does? A religion left a man wanting. A relationship caused a man named Nicodemus to forsake himself, his desires, his wants, his appetite, and say, this is the one who gave me eternal life through a new birth. And he brought ointments, mixtures, 100-pound weight, wrap the body of His Savior. Oh, relationship. From the fearful shadows of night's dawn, hour, to the dawn, to the evening hour of that day, He took His body, wrapped it, as the custom was. Religion hides you in your self-righteousness. A relationship will open you up. Open you up and identifies you with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why outreach? Religion has failed. Religion is rules and rituals. A relationship is a new birth in the Lord Jesus Christ that brings benefits untold. What's the response? You must be born again. There is no other way. No other way whatsoever. You must choose to believe or not to believe on God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me, dear friend. There's no neutral spot. If you believe not, you're condemned already. No neutral spot. No ignorance of the law. Not that I grew up in the backwoods of the Brazilian rainforest, so there's no... If you believe not, you're condemned already. You could have grew up in a church, a denomination, a Baptist church, dear friend. I don't care what church you call out. You could grow up in it, and there is no neutral spot. You've believed or you believe not. You believe, you have eternal life. You believe not, you're condemned already. You don't have a choice in the matter. Why? For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. So why outreach? Religion's failed. And in our own Baptist circles, we failed at this religious thing. Come be like we are, and you'll be okay. Oh no. It ain't like we are. It's like He is. And that's what they need. They need a relationship with Jesus. And a relationship with Jesus will make the difference in all of the world. Everything is around Him. It's all about Him. That's why outreach. We stand to our feet.